I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. You can find me at chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Chris Ann Hall. You can find me on Facebook. Yes, as a matter of fact, it's real easy. Just go to my website, chrisannhall.com, and you can connect with me on Facebook and Twitter there. I also want to let you know that if you will go to my Facebook page today and sign up, if you will go to my website today and sign up, you will receive my ebook, In Defense of Liberty, absolutely free. This is going to be for a limited time. And so what I wanted to tell you, it's not something that I had announced anywhere on Facebook or on Twitter. It's something that I'm doing at our meetings, little flyers I'm handing out, get the ebook In Defense of Liberty free. But since I'm here with you, and this is the Liberty First Brigade, and you are the Liberty First Brigade, I wanted to share that opportunity with you. So just go to my website, chrisannhall.com. Sign up, and you will receive my ebook In Defense of Liberty absolutely free, and you will also get my flyers for the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments. These are one-page flyers that you can take with you. You can hand them out at meetings. You can give them to your local law enforcement. You can take them with you at rallies. You can take them with you wherever you might be going. And you can have them as quick reference and quick education for the people around you. And that's what we do here at Liberty First. It is a mission of education so that we can defend liberty. I just want to share something with you today and just mention for the record, I know there are many people doing what I do. But there are many people doing what I do that charge huge speaking fees and make lots of money. I don't operate that way. I don't make any money at all from this radio show. There is no money coming in through commercial broadcasting. There is no money coming to me from this show. My family and I sacrifice to do what I do. We are not rich. We normally make just enough to keep this mission going every month. We make what we make at the meetings that could get us to go through the next meetings. Now, I'm not poor-mouthing, but sometimes I think people have the wrong impression about how things are, thinking that I am making money doing what I'm doing, that I'm independently wealthy and I don't need any money. But you see, I don't do this for fame. I don't do this for money. I do this for my child. I do this because I love this republic and the ideals it represents. I do this because I love liberty. I really, really do. I fell head over heels in love with the men and women who sacrificed everything to create America built on liberty. I don't say that symbolically. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that I have fallen in love with these people. You know, my faith, my Bible teaches me that there is no greater love than a man give his life for his brother, his friend. And that's what these people did. Some of them gave their lives when they died so that we could have liberty. Others gave their lives so they could live and give everything that they had so we could be free. And I love them for that. My heart breaks for them. My heart weeps for them, and my heart loves them. If when we get to heaven, you know, it's one of those things that we do, who knows? You know, everybody says, when I get to heaven, I want to see this person, that person. If we get to see people when we go to heaven, and if that's really a priority, I'm guessing when we get there, it's not going to be a big priority. But I'm thinking, if we have the chance, man, I tell you what, I cannot wait to wrap my arms around Mercy Otis Warren. I cannot wait to shake James Otis Jr.'s hand and give him a hug if he'll let me. I cannot wait to sit down and talk to Crispus Attucks and Peter Salem and Bernardo de Galvez. I can't wait to talk to John Leland. I want to know what they were thinking when they turned everything over to James Madison. I want to know these things. I want to look George Washington in the face. I want to let Thomas Jefferson know how much I admire not just simply the stand that he took, but his spiritual and intellectual growth that I was able to learn from. I don't do this for fame. I don't do this for money. I do this for my child, and I do this because I love liberty. But most importantly, I believe that God Himself put this on my heart. This liberty first, and you as part of the Liberty First Brigade, this is a mom-and-pop endeavor operating on a shoestring budget. I can't always do all the things I like to do. But we trust God and know that He has all this in His control. I know that there are radio shows that work the same way, 5 days a week, 6 days a week. And I know that sometimes I have to do repeat shows more often than other hosts. But it's because I'm doing something else. It's because I'm out teaching. It's because I'm out flying. I'm traveling. Sometimes I'm flying from one time zone to the other, and I have no idea what sleep looks like anymore. You know, you're flying from one time zone to another and staying in one hotel and in a different hotel and a different bed every night. And I'm getting up in the morning and doing the shows and then teaching all day and then teaching all night, driving, and I'm not getting back to the hotel. It's midnight before I'm asleep, and then I'm up again at 7. Sometimes, can I tell you, I just can't muster up the energy or the time. And I appreciate the support that you give us. Because this is a faith ministry, not a fame ministry. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how it's always going to stay. Will I ever get on Fox? Who knows? Will Glenn Beck ever have me on his show? Will Hannity ever use me as a consultant? You know, at this point, that doesn't matter to me. Because remember, I am just trying to reach the faithful few. I know, as Samuel Adams says, that it's the small brush fires that make the difference. Thomas Paine said it's not in numbers that we gather our strength, but in unity. We are breeding a unity in liberty here. And I want you to know that that's what we're all about. And I want to encourage you to know more about what we do, where I'm teaching, and how you can support us. That's why I tell you my website is chrisannhall.com. I'm very excited that my husband has had the opportunity to travel with me lately. That is just amazing, because he is an amazing speaker, and we now have new platforms that we can bring to you. My husband has an amazing lesson on Romans 13. And the Christian's obligation to teach and to be politically involved, to stand against government that is tyrannical. It is biblical. It is a biblical command. It is biblically rewarded by God for us to stand when government gets tyrannical. And this is a lesson that every Christian and every church must have. My husband gave an amazing speech in our state capitol in Tallahassee, where he slammed Jeb Bush and Common Core. It's a rip-roarer. I'm going to tell you what, you need to go to my website and watch this video. I'm trying to explain to you that my husband is a better speaker than I am. And I want you to see that we are doing our best to expand the education available through the Liberty First Ministry. And the only way we can do that is through your support. You're listening to the show. You're sharing the show. You're going to Facebook and sharing the Facebooks. You're going to the website and sharing the articles and the videos. And I did a little fun 41-second rant the other day in the car. I don't know. My husband wants me to do more of those. I like those. Those are kind of fun. But, you see, we're doing what we can to put education into the hands of those who want to defend liberty. That's what we're all about. It's a faith ministry, not a fame ministry. And remember, as far as I'm concerned, that's how it's going to stay. And today, we're going to be talking about some things that I think need to be readdressed from time to time. And we're going to talk about something very exciting that's happened in Oklahoma that could be a double-edged sword if we're not careful. You see, we have got to make sure that we are covering all the bases and we're preparing for all the opposition. And the only way we can do that is if we're educated. So when we get back, we're going to talk about separation of church and state, and we're going to talk about this amazing thing going on in Oklahoma. It's going to be a great show. Really, really excited. And I want to thank you for joining us.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
An understanding of history is really the only thing that can illuminate our understanding of religious liberty. And that's how we have to understand and define this concept of separation of church and state. Our ignorance of history, not to mention a dangerous level of apathy that has overcome our churches, is allowing tyrannical government to erode the liberty that people of faith have enjoyed for over two centuries. We believe that we have moved beyond the days of kings and serfs, but here we are, repeating history. The very history the founders of America attempted to prevent us from repeating. It's exactly the same show that was played out again and again throughout English history that gave us our founding documents. Just different days, different times, different characters. The current tyrannical king of America is forcing the church to succumb to the rule of the sovereign in opposition to dictates of conscience. And Congress is doing nothing to prevent it. And our states are going along with it. We are repeating what occurred in 1066, in 1213, in 1628, 1641, 1689. So let's take a few minutes to learn the history that we need to learn. so that we don't continue to repeat it. In 1066 England, William I takes the throne and begins forcing his rule over the people of England, a people who, because of an agreement in 1041, had become accustomed to participation in their government and had established a common law they felt was fair and just for their time. Now, William I was not an Anglo-Saxon king. He was a Norman king, and Norman kings are used to ruling in an unlimited, tyrannical fashion. And he had different ideas about this. He and his sons continued to fundamentally transform the kingdom up until Henry I took the throne. Now, Henry I, those of you who are longtime followers of and members of the Liberty First Brigade, you know that Henry I is the signer of the 1100 Charter of Liberties, the first liberty document in our genealogy of the Constitution. And in this Charter of Liberties, Henry promises to end the tyranny of his father and his brother, and he made a certain charter with the people, a promise, to end all evil and oppressive practices carried out by the crown. And what the people of 1100 England felt was evil and oppressive, we might find familiar. Now, beside promising to end the evils of inheritance tax and ensuring that lawmakers were subjects to the laws that they made, this king in 1100 promised to abandon the practice of requiring the ecclesiastical leaders of the Church of England to do the government's bidding. Henry promised to the people that first and foremost, he would declare the church free of government interference. Henry says, and I quote, "Know that by the mercy of God and the common council of the barons of the whole kingdom of England, I have been crowned king of said kingdom. And because the kingdom had been oppressed by unjust actions, I, through fear of God and the love which I have toward you all, in the first place, make the holy church of God free. And I take away all the bad customs by which the kingdom of England was unjustly oppressed." That would not end the reign of tyranny, because tyrants hate liberty. And as Jefferson said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It's its natural manure. And in 1213, John is the king of England, and his hatred for the church quickly becomes apparent. You see, tyrants don't like to share their power. And throughout history, they've come to recognize the great force within the church. After all, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? And John is called the most evil king England has ever known. The English have said that even hell was fouled by the presence of God. You know John, by the way. John is the king in the Robin Hood stories. It was John's refusal to grant the people the right to choose an archbishop that threw the people into rebellion and gave us the Magna Carta. Some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, 'cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Now, John is king, and John is forgetting about the 1100 Charter of Liberties in which Henry made the church completely free. And the barons and the lords have chosen an archbishop by the name of Stephen Langton, and in an attempt to avoid bloodshed, drew up a charter to force the king to keep the promise issued by the 1100 Charter of Liberties. This edict gave specific directions to John on what tyrannical acts were to be halted, and this edict is called the Magna Carta. And I want to quote this section to you. It says, "In the first place, we have granted to God, and by this our present charter confirmed for us, and our heirs forever, that the English church shall be free, and shall have her rights entire, and her liberties inviolate. Wherefore we will, and firmly order, that the English church be free, and that the men in our kingdom have, and hold all the aforesaid liberties, rights, and concessions, well and peaceably, freely and quietly, fully and wholly, for themselves and their heirs, of us and our heirs, in all respects, and in all places, forever, as is aforesaid." Now, because John had a sword to his throat, he had no choice but to agree. And now we're going to fast forward to 1625, and it's Charles I who had to be put in his place. Charles was accused of devising, quote, "a wicked design to erect and uphold in himself an unlimited tyrannical power to rule according to his will and to overthrow the rights and liberties of the people," end quote. And to do this, he had, quote, "traitorously and maliciously levied war against the present Parliament and the people therein represented," end quote. Now, what was among Charles' atrocities? And you guessed it, yes, an offense against religious liberty. 11 counts, to be exact, and all were listed in the Grand Remonstrance of 1641. His tyranny is summarized like this, quote, "for depriving the bishops of their vote in Parliament." Wow, look at that. Bishops had votes in government. "And abridging their immoderate power usurped over the clergy, and other your good subjects, which they have perniciously abused to the hazard of religion, and a great prejudice and oppression into the laws of the kingdom and just liberty of your people." The people rebelled against Charles, against unjust laws, against his oppression of the church. Charles would be found guilty later, 40 years later, of tyranny and sentenced to death. And then we're going to go just a few more years later and have a tyrannical king by the name of James II. James II is accused in the English Bill of Rights is attempting to completely destroy liberty. And by creating a separate court called the Court of Ecclesiastical Causes that would overturn the laws of the kingdom and make all judges subject to his rule of law instead of the common law. James would issue a decree in which it would appear that he was giving the people religious liberty, but he's not. In his religious liberty decree, he said, "You no longer have to be a member of the Church of England. You can have church anywhere you want, any time you want, on one condition. Before you have church, you must inform the king where you'll be meeting, when you'll be meeting, what will be said, who will be preaching, and you must promise that you will never say anything bad about the king in the church." Now, that is not religious liberty. That sounds more like a 501c3 to me. And the people rebel against James, denying the church their voice in government, causing a great hazard to religious liberty, prosecuting ministers, courts of ecclesiastical causes, the complete destruction of liberty. That is the history that created our First Amendment. The battle for all liberty is rooted in the battle for religious liberty and the ability to speak, print, assemble, and air our grievances according to the dictates of our conscience. It's no coincidence that it's the First Amendment. And the question is, what are we going to do about the tyranny that is fundamentally transforming America into an utter wasteland of ruined liberties? We need to understand that separation of church and state doesn't mean that God has no business in government. Separation of church and state means government has no business in your church. It's the same thing that Henry I said in 1100, that the church will be free from government intrusion. Separation of church and state was not invented by Thomas Jefferson when he wrote the letter to the Danbury Baptists. Separation of church and state was when Thomas Jefferson spoke those or wrote those words in 1802, was Jefferson remembering his history lessons that the liberty can only endure when the government stays out of your church. So separation of church and state means the government has no business in your church. It does not mean that God has no place in public discourse. It does not mean that God is a forbidden topic and that you can't mix politics and religion. That is ridiculous. You know, when we remove someone's faith, whatever that may be, from their decisions, we end up with tyrannical, lawless government, immoral government. When you tell politicians that they can't speak about their faith, they cannot be ruled and governed by their faith, by their moral compass, that they have to leave their faith and their morality at the marble columns before they go into the building to make laws, that's how you get a government that destroys liberty. Lawless, tyrannical. Violating the liberties of the people that have been long-standing and are gifts from God. Separation of church and state means that we have liberty to believe or not believe, and the liberty to speak about those things however we choose, using any media that is available to us. I am not forcing my faith on you by speaking about my faith or describing my motivations. I talk about my faith a lot on this show. You know what? You don't have to be a Christian to listen to my show. As a matter of fact, I don't think that anything that I say in this show should be offensive to anyone, because I'm dedicated to liberty. You know, it's just like Dennis Prager said the other day, you know, I respect your right to discriminate against me based on what I believe, because we are discriminating people. That's by the nature of who we are. But if you are a business and you're going to say no Christians are allowed, I believe you have the right to do that. But I also believe that we are a place, a society built upon liberty and free market. And that mentality will shut your business down. I believe in liberty so wholly. I believe in it completely. I believe that liberty is based on freedom and morality. And when your freedom contradicts with social morality, the people will not tolerate it as a whole. And that's why liberty always prevails. You know, that's the one thing, one of the things that our framers knew for fact. They were building a nation, and I'm quoting there, where all could be equally free, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. Richard Henry Lee said, we are building, it is true, we are not disposed to differ much about religion at present, but as we're building a constitution for ages and millions yet unborn, why not make religious liberty as a part of that national compact? Because when we can restrict what people believe through government force, then guess what? Government with the sword to protect your belief becomes the sword that persecutes you. So when you say only people who believe what I believe can be allowed to speak their minds, and we're going to persecute or prosecute all those others, then you don't support liberty. And when you want the government to do that by rule of law, then you don't support liberty, regardless of what that is. It is not the government's job to mandate morality. We are supposed to be self-governed in morality. And because we are a free market system, we should be allowing people to act in liberty and allow the overall morality of the people to control the marketplace. You see, I am not forcing my faith on you by speaking about my faith and describing my motivation. You go ahead, be motivated by whatever motivates you. Share what motivates you. Maybe somebody else will be motivated by that. Just make sure you're driving towards liberty. Because if you're not, well, we can't be friends. Because you're either for liberty or you're against it. and I can't support you if you're against it. Based on my faith, and based on the understanding of history and liberty, based on the understanding that if you want government to dictate your morality on others, then you are supporting a tyrannical, unlimited power government. And that's not what we're based upon. We're based upon a limited and defined government, where separation of church and state dictates that the government needs to stay out of our church. But guess what that means? That means you have to operate your church without government assistance. That means you have to stop inviting the church. Stop inviting the government into your church. Stop asking them for benefits and assistance. Stop asking for vouchers. Stop asking for government grants for your homeless shelters. Stop asking for government food for your food banks. Stop asking for government tax benefits and tax exclusions. You see, the IRS doesn't grant you a tax exclusion. That is mandated by the Constitution and separation of church and state. But you see, when you bow down and kowtow to the IRS 501c3 and curtail your speech and limit your actions based on what the government says, then you have invited the government into your church and you have violated the very premise for the establishment of a religious liberty.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So what has Oklahoma done? What are they doing, rather, that is so encouraging towards religious liberty and separation of church and state? Well, we are in the middle of a big debate, a big dilemma, big issue here in America over gay marriage and the marriage issue. What should we do about gay marriage? Now, here's the deal. Christians, listen up. You believe that marriage is a sanctified relationship between a man, a woman, and God. I fail to see how government fits into that equation, that trinity there, man, woman, and God. But you see, when we as Christians first employed government to issue marriage licenses, what did we do? We invited government into that sacred relationship. Not so that government could sanctify that relationship in the eyes of God. God doesn't need government to sanctify what he does and the covenants that he makes, but to sanctify marriage in the eyes of government so that we could get greater tax benefits. Christians inviting government into their church, into their religion, to get government benefits. Because somewhere along the trail, Christian families decided that God was no longer capable to provide for their marriages, no longer capable to provide for their families. At some point in time in our Christian faith, God became insufficient to meet the needs of our marriages and our families. And we declared that God needed a government bailout. And so we went to the government to give us tax breaks for our marriages and invited government into that religious relationship. And that's why we have this whole problem with gay marriage. Gay, people who want a gay marriage license are not looking for God to sanctify their relationship. They're looking for government. And if the Christians had never invited government into that relationship in the first place, we wouldn't have this whole debate. Now, Oklahoma, Tuesday, the Oklahoma State House approved legislation that transfers the issuance of marriage licenses from the state to clergy members. Introduced by Representative Todd Russ, would replace a state-issued marriage license with a clergy-issued marriage certificate. And if enacted, the legislation would remove government from the practice of licensing marriage and would do nothing to allow or disallow same-sex marriage. It does nothing to, has nothing to do with the qualification of who can become married and who cannot. It puts marriage back in the hands of the church. Now, here's the problem. Because you see, the government is still handing out tax benefits for being married. And this is what I fear. I fear that because of this, this will increase the government mandate on our clergy and not decrease it. Because, you see, what will happen now is because the clergy has to issue the marriage licenses in order to get the government benefits. People will be able to file civil rights acts against pastors who refuse to issue marriage licenses based on their faith. And I fear that this is what we're looking at. Because we have not removed the tax benefit for marriage. And that's the real problem. And so these things need to happen together, and we need to be aware of what's coming. This is a move in the right direction. This is the right way to think about this. But we've got to get the government out of our marriages altogether before we open the door for even bigger problems. It's all about liberty, and liberty means less government. The more government, the less liberty. The more liberty, the less government. More moral responsibility. God bless. See you tomorrow.